Podtacular, episode 325, Four Dawns of Dawn, episode 4, for October 26, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we have returning Halo fan for life.
How you doing?
Doing good. A little sore, a little tired. I've been cranking out podcasts left and right. Well, I've been recording them. They haven't come out quite yet as of this recording, but people are going to get a dump trunk full of podcasts here very soon this weekend. So it's going to be a podcast overload for people, but hopefully you guys will enjoy the content. With that said, we're going to try to keep this one as short as we can. I'm aiming for 30 minutes. Halo Fan for Life thinks otherwise, so we'll see. We'll see what happens in the end. And no introductions needed this time around, so we can jump straight into the episode. And the first scene we have is back on the Forward Unto Dawn. Cortana, she's obviously rampant. First thing we hear her say, says she can't remember and that she feels lost and scared. So the rampancy is definitely having some superfluous effects on her. Neural pathways are probably getting connected to places where memory is getting lost, and the human emotion of kind of being scared comes into play, being a smart AI. So we just see her deteriorating left and right. She's going through huge mood swings. As we saw in the last episode, she has this kind of dual personality going on. She's losing her mind, essentially.
Very sad.
Well, we know that this is, the AIs go rampant. Yeah, it's sad, but unfortunately we can't do anything about it. At least not right now.
Right. Yeah.
So with that said, the chip gets scanned, and we're, for the sake of conversation, we're just going to say it's the Didact. We're still not 100% sure it's the Didact, but most of the people think it's the Didact. So we're just going to stick with saying it's the Didact from now on. So the Didact scan.
Can I interject?
Sure.
Okay. She does say during that sequence that it's an alien, or it's an AI construct. So, you know,
I was about to say that, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so it's kind of mixed in with the different conversations there that she's having with herself. And, she does say it's an AI construct, but it's not Covenant in nature. So that she's able to figure out.
Yeah, she says it's alien, not Covenant, and it's an AI thing.
Now, what's cool is just before the ship is getting scanned, did you notice that one of the hoses breaks off, and one of the metal clamps, the metal O-ring clamps that holds it together, pops off, and it starts kind of doing a slow spiral? And if you notice, it does a close-up of this ring, and damn it if it doesn't look just like a Halo ring, at least on the outside part of it. It's a very cool imagery.
Yeah. I'm sure that's just kind of visual effects that they did that for, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool reference.
Yeah, cool reference. On the end of her little monologue, she said that she's in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably the part where we see, from all the other videos we've seen, is where Cortana starts to wake Chief up. That'd be my guess, is shortly thereafter. Like, she probably is doing some analysis of what the scan actually was to the rest of the ship, where the origin of the scan came from, and trying to figure out who or what did this. And I'm assuming shortly thereafter, if she A, either can't quite figure it out, or B, has figured it out and is something very dangerous, that's when she wakes Chief up.
That sounds good to me. That sounds right.
Because this is kind of tying loosely, I'm not sure how good of a representation this is, but the live action sequence that was shown at E3, the UNSC Infinity got scanned, and then it was instantly being pulled into the planet.
Right.
If it's doing that, then Chief is waking up very soon after that scene.
So will we see that in episode 5?
I don't know.
One week away!
One week away! So close!
I can taste it.
It's going to be interesting trying to do that podcast because I'll be in Dallas.
Ooh.
For MLG. So that one's going to be a tricky show to get done. Well, we'll get it done, but it'll be a tricky one to get done. So after that, that's a little Cortana sequence for this episode. We move on to the scene where we were left off with everyone is dying. We're being invaded by Covenant. Everyone's running around, and slow-mo sequences are thrown in left and right. There's a couple of scenes with an elite silhouette and with holding a plasma rifle, and then you see Mahaffey get shot down with some needler rounds. So she's dead now.
So sad. I really like that character.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that she would have kind of made it through to the end, kind of giving Lasky at least some more final words before she either ate it or she got shipped off somewhere.
The thing is for the story, when you think about it, she had to die. In order for Lasky to really become the leader
True.
That he needs to be,
True.
He can't have an officer above him to direct what's going on. Otherwise, he's just a follower still at that point. So they kind of needed to kill her off. Doesn't mean we necessarily have to like it, but it's completely understandable. And it was sad to see her go.
Well, I mean, who was the closest to Lasky at that academy other than Silva?
Right. And
I don't think anyone was.
She was like a mother figure to him. So to see her die right in front of his face, you know, that's one thing had to have galvanized him to move to action.
That was a lengthy slow-mo, like, close-up of his face when Mahaffey dies.
Yeah.
He's like, just, wow, like, ugh!
There's a lot of slow-mo thrown throughout the entirety of the episode.
Yeah.
It almost got kind of boring after a while, just with how much slow-mo there was. I mean, it was good for the times it was used, but it still seemed like it was used a little too much for my personal taste.
Yeah, given what we saw, I mean, I was fine with it because they were very impactful moments, as we'll talk about through the rest of the episode. So I was fine with it because it's not
they were impactful but lengthy.
Okay.
Well, I think for me, I was just so excited to see what happened next that, like, watching these slow-mo sequences, I was like, just hurry up, just show me what happens next. I want to see, when's the Chief coming up?
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of why I mentioned it, because, like, well, we know what's going to happen here in the next 10 seconds. You might as well just go ahead and kind of speed things up a little bit. But it's a style that they went with for this episode, and it's what we got. Still doesn't mean the episode is bad. It's just I thought that the slow-mo was kind of used a little too much in this one.
Well, I love the action in the episode.
Oh, yeah. The action in here is freaking brilliant. Definitely. So you see Mahaffey get shot down. Tom's looking around at people dying. Covenant, carbines, needlers shooting everywhere. He's almost like in a daze, just seeing everything that's going on around him. And we also get a shot at a jackal holding a carbine. We don't see it get shot initially. We just see the jackal kind of showing up behind someone with the silhouette and the lights coming off of the armor. You can tell that he's about to shoot the Marine, but it doesn't quite show the clip on there.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it takes Silva to come kind of pull him out of his daze, kind of like a Earth to Tom, get your butt over here. So they pretty much group up with the rest of Hastati's squad and run for the barracks. Mahaffey gave the order originally to get back to the doors, get inside, and go hide. And when she got shot down, that's when Lasky went into his kind of daze and started the slow-mo sequence. And catching up with the study squad, they go back to the barracks. Fine, most of the doors are closed, but Lasky's room is open, so they go in and hide in Lasky's room.
Wait, how do we know it's Lasky's room?
Sully said, here, Lasky's room's open.
Oh, well, they also mess with his chess set.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And Sully, I think it was Sully that said it's Lasky's room. So they're kind of sitting down, trying to catch their breaths, looking around at each other, kind of like, we're screwed. What's going on? And Vickers kind of comes up with this interesting line. It says it's a totally different, it's a new war that we're fighting. And then everyone's kind of like looking at him like, what are you saying? And then they hear something outside. Needless to say, they hear a sound that's pretty close, so Lasky takes a peek outside his door, and some lady's getting stabbed through the chest with an energy sword.
Shank.
Pwned. Something. So, Tom sees this energy sword gets withdrawn, the lady turns it off, looks down the corridor, and I guess he doesn't see Lasky because he doesn't start charging towards him, but then he goes invisible. So Lasky tells everyone, goes back and tells everyone, they're invisible. And everyone's like, what? That's impossible.
This is probably a good time to pee your pants.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do here? You would think massive panic would kind of ensue here. But I guess they are soldiers, so they kind of learn how to deal with that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, also, you just saw, you know, aliens invade. You know, second, you live in a society where faster than light travel exists. I mean, they've seen a lot of crazy stuff in their lifetime. So, I mean, the idea of an alien going invisible probably isn't that crazy. They're like, yeah, I totally believe that.
Well, and this is still something that they haven't seen up close and personal yet. This is the first time of them actually seeing the Covenant other than what they saw in the footage that Sully dug up.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not like freaking out about aliens. They're like, yeah, like, I mean, I believe there's aliens here, but what are they doing? I mean, we're going to die. I mean,
but not for not seeing aliens before at all, and not even hearing about them, I think that would be kind of a shocking experience.
Yeah, but I mean, less shocking for somebody in that kind of advanced society than probably
our current
society that we have right now.
Fair enough.
More believable, you know, like you tell somebody they just went invisible. Yeah, totally. They're aliens.
Tell me, at least to me, it felt like that particular little sequence there felt like some of the best scenes from like the Predator movies, where you know, the Predator goes invisible after he shanks somebody.
I haven't seen Predator.
Well, you know, I'm not gonna say go out and see that movie, but the correlation between the two it seems really apparent to me. Just the way that it happens, and I gave me a little bit of chills there.
All right.
But anyways.
fair enough. I just like the whole Predators and Aliens movie.
Just Predator.
No, but I mean like the both of those movies, the series is just, it's not appealing to me.
Okay.
So, I like my Halo.
Well,
yeah. Lasky sticks his head back out the door and he sees the elite smash it open with brute strength. And it's like, oh, okay, this is bad, very bad. They all make a decision, or was it Orinsky that made the decision that they need to go to the armory? Yeah.
Yes.
So Orinsky basically said, we need to get to the armory. Chow volunteers to take point. Chen, Chow. Wow.
Chen Chow.
I am on a roll here, folks. Chen. Thank you, Sal.
No problem.
Chen decides to take point, and when he sees the elite smash the doors next to Lasky's room, which I believe is Silva's room, then they decide to run towards the armory. And is it just me, or does it not really seem like they're running? Because if you're trying to run from something that big, I would think you'd be sprinting. And it seemed like they were jogging.
Well, I think in that situation, they have to consider that, you know, there could be danger around every corner. So to just blindly run as fast as you freaking can might get you into some trouble. So they can't necessarily run as fast as they want to. They have to make sure that, you know, where they're going is safe before they, you know, continue around whatever corridors or hallways they run into.
Still, you would not want to stay around when you know that thing is right by you.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I hear you.
I mean, I would be mad dashing. I wouldn't be cutting corners. I would be running wide corners, so I would see if there is something around the corner. But you'd still be almost sprinting at that point. That just makes logical sense to me, is that you'd be running, sprinting away from the big, bad thing that's outside.
Right.
So when Chin just turns the corner of one of the hallways that they're running down, about a good maybe 20 feet down, he just stops. And everyone's wondering, like, why'd you stop? And you really can't see because the elite's invisible, but he's being held by his arm. And the elite's face is probably right in front of his because we see his glasses fog up, which I thought was kind of a cool cinematic effect. And then, out of nowhere, energy sword to the chest, Chin's dead. End of mystery.
I mean, and the fact that the elite just lifts him off the ground like it's nothing, too. Like, ugh. Well, that was chilling.
So the elites in here, I don't quite get the behaviors, because from what we've seen in the elites in the games, they're swift to execute. They don't just stand around and stalk people.
Well,
it's very different from how we've seen elite behavior elsewhere.
The only thing I can think of is because these enemies are not armed, that he's kind of savoring what's going on. He's savoring the kills. You know, they are a bit demented, okay. You know. So even if they're quote-unquote honorable, they're still a little demented.
Well, I mean, they've got this, like, righteous indignation based on their religion where they're just going around slaughtering humans. I mean, they're loving it. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, I mean, they've never encountered a Spartan before. You know, in the later games, yeah, if they see a Spartan coming, that's the demon. You need to stalk him. If you just, you know, come up to him real slow, he's gonna kill you.
But
these are just normal humans.
Yeah, but at this point, if you read the books, they've already made a decision that all humans need to be killed off. I mean, that was
it's like part of their religion.
Yeah, so you would think, so this moment right here, it would have been a perfect moment for the elite to just kill Chin and then just start going on the killing rampage on the rest of the guys. Instead, he just stands there as they run off, which is completely against what I have perceived elites to behave from what I've seen in games and other little films that's going on.
We'll call it dramatic adaption, then. I like the way that it's played out because, you know, it's more of a slow, painful terror that we're watching as opposed to an immediate killing. Because think about it, if he did that, the episode would have been over right then.
Well, it also points out just how messed up the elites are, just how influenced by the covenant religion that they are, you know, and to just love killing these humans that they've never even seen before. I mean, these humans just now realize that aliens exist. That the Covenant exists, and, you know, they're getting slaughtered for reasons that they don't even know about. And this elite's loving it, you know? I mean, he's like,
Well, and also you have to think, too, even within our own society, it's not like all people are the same. So, you know, maybe this particular elite is that demented, and, you know, and that while he knows his mission is to kill humans, he's just going to go ahead and enjoy it just a little bit longer.
Because he knows they can't fight him back. I mean, exactly. What are they going to do? What are they gonna punch him in the face or something? Like,
if they can find it.
Yeah, he's invisible.
Yeah, true. But I just found that a little odd for this part. Moving on, though, the cadets run off to the armory. They finally get there. They try to get the weapons out of the lockers. They're locked. Arinsky can't get them open. And Lasky, it doesn't seem like they can get a distress beacon out. It seems like all the instruments are down, but he is able to close the doors. So they're pretty much just in there trying to figure out just kind of what to do, how they're going to get the weapons out. Vickers decides to pick up an air canister of some kind and then just start banging at one of the cages that has weapons in it. And after about three or four times, everyone else starts cheering him on. It's like, you can do it. Hit it harder.
Can I just point this out?
Sure.
Like, this point in the episode kind of made me mad, because I didn't see it as, like, the other Hastati squad cheering him on. They were, like, just trying to make him do it harder because they were afraid. Like, do it harder!
Well, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hit it harder! But nobody actually went over and tried to help or grab something else to, you know, bludgeon the case with.
Well, I mean, at that point, your adrenaline's flowing. You're not quite thinking straight, so they're... Yeah, it's kind of a panic where it's like, yeah, hit it harder.
It's but like, I'd be kind of annoyed if, like, I'm the only person actually trying to get this cage open.
Well, yeah.
Everybody else is like, do it harder. You're not hitting it hard enough. Hit it harder.
But, I mean, you don't necessarily make the most rational decisions for small decisions like that when you have adrenaline running through your body.
And you're being attacked by aliens with energy swords.
Right, exactly. They're walking around invisible. So
Vickers actually ended up being pretty heroic this episode.
Yeah.
Like, he's a jerk the entire series, and then this episode he's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
He redeems himself quite nicely.
Yeah, he does. We're about to get to that part. After a few knocks on the cages, they hear the big thump at the door. They pretty much know that the elites found it, so they go run around, hide cover. Vickers gets split off from the rest of the group. The elite eventually knocks down the doors after kind of hitting it a few times, walking away. Everyone's kind of stands back, is wondering, is he gone? And then the door gets pounded in. Everyone kind of scurries along back towards the door just so they can get a better look at it. The elite comes in, walks around a bit. It sounds like he goes out. So Lasky's group goes even closer. They go through some, navigate through some debris. And when he's almost at the door, they ask him to kind of look out. And after a few seconds, you just see this giant footprint in the water. And they're like, he's right there.
You know, I like the way that they did that too. Very believable CG. They did a great work with, you know, great work on that.
Kind of a Jurassic Park moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, the elite decides to kind of walk around the corner. He gets a ping from, I guess, his commander on one of the ships or something, or some other elite. We don't exactly know what he's saying, but it's probably just a communique saying there's that everyone's like being either recalled or maybe just like a status report, or maybe a MVP has been taken out or something, or maybe something else is coming, which...
Right. Hurry up and finish your work there, because something else is coming
in. Yeah, something else is coming at you. And this is where Vicker kind of makes his heroic attempt to kind of get the other cadets out, because he's one versus the other four, so if he can get the other four, or help get the other four away, then he's done something. But, of course, the elite just turns around and slashes him.
I thought he shot him.
He shoots him.
Well, I mean, that was kind of the point to me, was you expect Vickers to... I mean, Vickers kind of expected the elite to have a sword, you know, and it'd be a close combat thing where the elite would run up and slash him, and that would give the other Hastati squad time to get away, but that elite's just like, whatever, just like... It was like a Indiana Jones moment, where he just turns around and, like, shoots him in the... You know, I don't know where he shot him.
It's like one of those moments... It's one of those moments where the elite's probably just trying to kind of savor the fact that he knows that the cadets are around the corner, and then he gets his calm, and then he gets interrupted by this guy, so he's like, no, I'm not done. Dead. One of those
still
kind of
very
moments.
Heroic of Vickers, even if it, you know, it might buy the cadets maybe 2 or 3 more seconds.
And that's exactly what they needed.
Exactly.
We'll get to that.
Well, we're getting to it now. So the elite comes around, he sees the cadets, and lo and behold, stab/assassination. Chief.
Assassination.
Chief. I mean,
well,
that's
how the elite was like kind of really just...
He was like...
He's like laughing about it. And then all of a sudden, like, yep, you just ate crow. Boom.
And what about the blood and the meaty bits that just come slashing off of his back too there?
That was pretty cool.
It was delicious.
And okay. Moving on. This is going to be the first little audio clip that we play in this show. And we're actually only playing 2 of them because there's not much dialogue. This is more of an action-packed show. But there's 2 sequences I'm going to play, and this is going to be the first one.
Kelly, inform command I have 4 survivors. Take your team north. Rendezvous at Evac Alpha for Pelican extraction. We'll meet you there. Chief out.
How did you find us?
The distress beacon.
Why did you come for us?
You're the only survivors.
In the school?
On the planet. We've got 15 minutes to get to the evac point. Armor up.
It's locked.
Ah!
So, Chief being Chief, pretty much, he calls over to Kelly, and we know Kelly from Blue Team, and trying to get the evac prepared, and Chief drops the news that those four guys that are left are the only people left on the planet.
Ouch.
This was a swift attack that the Covenant made. Because this was done in pretty much the span of, what do you think, 15 minutes? 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, very quick.
The slaughter was quick.
And to be the only four left on the planet?
It's very daunting to even think about something like that.
Yeah, it's like, how many other, like, either cities or whatever else was on this planet? Because if you look at Corbulo Academy, there's pretty much nature all around. So I don't know if there's really any other installations on the planet.
Well, I assume that there's other colonies on the planet.
I mean, yeah, I would assume so.
And they would just waste oxygen, nitrogen, you know, enriched atmosphere planet.
Well,
on one military installation.
Well,
if it is just one military installation, the fact that it was taken out that quickly, when you know they have defenses.
Oh yeah.
And still.
But to be the only four left, that's going to be kind of eye opening to the cadets. It's like, okay, thank you for saving our lives.
They don't even know what he is at like that point.
Not quite.
Like yeah. I mean, Sully, like. Doesn't he say later that he's a robot? Like, yeah. He's like, why is this robot? Like, I mean, we're following a robot.
Yeah.
Unlike when he tells him to armor up, and then when Sully's like, well, it's locked, man, Chief just goes all Hulk and
he just
out the thing like nothing.
Yeah, typical Chief fashion just goes clink.
Not anymore. You know? I've never felt like, I mean, I've played through all of the Halo games, and I've never felt that the Chief was as badass as he was in this single episode of Forward Unicron, you know? I mean, he just acts like a complete badass the entire time.
I totally agree with you there.
Yes. I didn't want to use the term, but yeah, he is.
I don't know. I mean, there's probably another term to use, but that's just the only thing I could think of at the time. Like, yeah. Man, that is
awesome. I used it on my site too, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's Chief being Chief, and we know he's a badass.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, like, the Chief is usually pretty silent in all of the games. And in this one, he's actually, like, talking and stuff, and the people are able to see the contrast between the Chief and the normal civilian.
Right.
Like, they couldn't get that cage open for nothing. Like, Vickers was probably the physically strongest one of the group, and he couldn't get it open, you know, bludgeoning it with a canister. And the Chief is just like, whatever, you know, just punches through the case instantly and
and rips it away. It's like, he's like, well, yeah, there you go. Get your weapons,
now.
Get your armor, and we're heading out. So they walk down the corridor, they're walking out to the extraction, and they get to a point down the hall where Chief says, wait, and regardless of what you hear, don't go anywhere and stay quiet.
Hold on, before you go any further, how about the fact that if you listen, you can hear the footfalls of Master Chief. You can hear that clank on the ground, just knowing that, you know, this guy is heavy. He is a walking tank.
Yeah. I didn't really think much of it, but okay.
Oh, I loved it.
I mean, yeah, it was great, but I mean, it's like, yeah, he's Chief. He's big, super cybernetic soldier. Yeah.
That me all near armor.
Mm-hmm. And that leads... That leads us up to our next little audio bit after Chief says, wait here.
Oh, God. I knew those Oni vids were bad news. Now we're the only ones alive. And
Sully,
what the hell is going on? We're all following a giant robot. Who knows if he's even coming back?
He's gonna come back. I believe him. You okay?
I don't know.
God, I'm here alone. Hey. You got me fine.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Who's the best shot here?
You, probably.
Kyler is.
I'm good. I am too.
Cadet Lasky, can you drive a Warthog?
Yeah, sure.
Good. That's where we're headed. Shooters on the left and right, driver in the center. Stay close to me. It's your best chance of survival.
Okay, so here we have the infamous line that you just brought up. Why are we following a giant robot?
Yes. Well, I mean, another line comes up that's... it's actually my favorite part of the entire episode. Because even though, like, the most egregious stuff ever has just happened, like, Sully is still funny somehow. And I don't think... he wasn't even trying to be funny right there. He was just being honest.
No, and yeah, it's just one of those, like, yep, you're following a giant robot.
Who's the best shooter here? He's like, probably you. Yeah, because it's true.
Like, I thought that was one of the funniest moments
that
in that
great.
Episode.
I loved it. Like, I mean, Sully
like
was always a great
you're a
character
freaking
to me.
Super soldier that we have no idea who you are, and you just took out an elite. Probably you.
Like, at that point, I'm like, yeah, I want him to be, like, the top Oni agent throughout the entire series. I want him to show up in my games. I want him to show up in my books. Like, I like Sully.
I wonder if we will see him in that kind of context. It would, I would like to see him back in there too. So, Chief, comes back. Actually, before that, the, Lasky and Chowder have their little bit where he's taking care of her, making sure she's okay. So that relationship is still kind of there. But yeah, the part where Chief asks who's the best shot, and then when he asks Lasky if he can drive, and Lasky's just like, sure, I think I can.
Yeah, yeah, whatever, yeah, sure, yeah. But, I mean, he's like just dazed. He still doesn't understand what the Master Chief is at that point. But I mean, he's in awe of the Chief.
Right. And this just goes to show that Chief is a man of very few words.
I mean, he's had more words in this episode than, like, probably the entirety of Halo 2.
No, that's not true, but...
Well, I mean, it might not be true, but it's pretty close. The
Chief had quite a few lines. If you go back and listen, if you go back and play and count all the lines, there's definitely a good amount of lines in there.
But I'm just saying, in general, the Chief says a whole lot more in this series than he does in the games. I mean, on, like, a...
a little more, yes. I wouldn't say just like a lot more. And
he's
if you also read
talking
the books,
to the cadets, like he doesn't say anything to the Marines while you're playing. You just see a Marine, like whatever. Yeah,
no, that's the game. But if you read the books, you do see a lot more dialogue and personality of Chief, and it fits him really well.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Is that it seems like the series kind of fits more along the lines of the books than the games.
Well, and they've said they're trying to
extended universe
right.
style.
And they've said they're trying to really incorporate the rest of the fiction into the game. So I think from what we saw Chief say in this one, I think it's pretty much on par. A little more chatty than usual, but definitely on par with kind of how we see Chief interact with a lot of other people. So moving on, they're walking through a field of dead bodies. They're seeing their fallen comrades, their commanders, their other cadets that were there at Corbulo Academy. And they're walking along, and Sully kind of pauses and is like, where did they all go? And in that instant, he gets shot in the leg with a needle round. And then you see the slow motion sequence go into effect, and you see another needler come off from way in the distance from a jackal. And Chief gets in the way of the needle, takes it with his shields, and pretty much saves Sully because he's going to get shot in the head.
Yeah. Just goes to, I guess, show off the Chief's reflex time as being completely superior. They even talk about that in the book, so...
Right. Well, he was in the front of the line, too. He had to go past Lasky, Orinsky, and Silva to get to him. And block
fast,
that needle round.
And he's fast enough to, you know, jump 7 feet behind himself and take a needle round to the arm. to save somebody's life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chief is awesome.
Very much so. What we see afterwards is they're pretty much going down, taking cover, and Chief tells Lasky that he needs to get to the Hog, or Rinsky and Silva, or to kind of shoot out the rest of the... And I think they're all jackals. I didn't really see anything else out in the field at the time. So Lasky runs over to the Warthog, trying to turn it on, and he obviously does not know how to use a Warthog. Because he's pushing buttons and just has no idea how to get the thing to start.
He's like, yeah, something's going to start it. Like, you can tell he lied during the first kind of scene where he kind of, like, paused and he wasn't really confident in his ability to drive a Warthog. Like, maybe he knows a little bit about it, but not enough to really say that he can drive a Warthog, but he's so scared at the time, and he wants to prove himself to the Chief that he's like, yeah, I can drive one. Whatever.
Before you go further, oh, and by the way, I have myself muted accidentally for the last couple minutes. when Lasky gets to the Warthog, there he finds General Black dead, and he has to pull his body out of the Hog. Now, this has me thinking, you know, what was the General doing? Was the General, cowardly leaving, or was he, you know, going to get into the turret and shoot his way out? What was he doing? The thing is we'll never get the chance to know that. All we know is Lasky certainly doesn't have time to even consider any of that. He just pulls the body out and gets in and tries to get the thing going.
Well, he's still kind of a little shocked at seeing General Black there. It's like, well, one of my superior officers has died. And Black doesn't seem like the character type that would just go off and try to flee from battle. He was probably trying to do something, maybe go around and flank him, or maybe just trying to scout out and see kind of where they were. It doesn't seem to fit his from what little we've seen of the character, of course, to really fit that mold of he would just kind of go out on his own to get away from it. It doesn't seem to fit, really. Because if that was going to happen, we saw in the first two episodes, and someone actually pointed this out, and we saw him kind of looking up to the sky, placing enforcements everywhere. So if he knew something was coming, he had plenty of time to get out.
Sure.
But he didn't. So it seems more like it was just an unfortunate situation where he got killed.
Yeah.
So while Lasky is trying to figure out how to get the Warthog to turn on, Silva and Orinsky are shooting back at the jackals. They both run out of clips, and Silva finds a nice little something on the ground, picks it up, shoots it, and good amount of recoil, but it's this long accurate shot weapon. It's the carbine, and so she takes it and shoots one of the jackals, and a lucky headshot at that.
Was it lucky though? I mean, but she says
it's the first time you shoot an alien weapon. How the heck do you?
No, I mean, it had a scope, and she was clearly looking through the scope.
True,
it's alien,
I guess.
I mean, it still
but I mean,
works
the kickback
on
it.
The idea of a ballistics weapon, you know, I mean, yeah, the kickback, but the kickback happens, after the shot.
Exactly. That won't affect the actual shot.
Yeah, I guess it's more of an energy weapon than an actual projectile, but okay. So she shoots off one of the jackals, and then you just see the rest of the jackals just being mowed down. Just like instantly, and then the shot going back up to a balcony, and the Chief is pistol sniping them all, pulling out the Halo 1 pistol and pistol sniping them from
it's beautiful.
About 500 feet away, 1,000 feet away, something like that. And it's just like, okay, bam, 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 bam. Thanks, Chief. Nice you could help us out there. So for one jackal that Silva managed to take out, Chief took out the rest of them. With the frickin' pistol.
That's lovely.
So I thought that was that's typical Chief fashion too. It's like you're just running. He's just doing his job, kind of running out. And oh, one thing I wanted to bring up is when Lasky was doing this during the slow mo sequence when Lasky was running to the Warthog. You saw the needle shots passing up, and there was one shot where the needle hit the edge of the cement, and you just saw the shard break off.
Oh, yeah.
That was beautiful.
Definitely.
I love that shot.
Awesome effects there. I liked it.
just seeing this the shard pop like that was just it sent chills down my spine. So after Lasky manages to get the Warthog started, finally, Orinsky helps Schuyler and Sully along to get to the Warthog.
Kyler. Sorry.
Okay, Kyler.
Skyler. Tyler.
And then Chief. And then Chief just jumps in the gunner seat.
How about that jump? It's again another slow motion effect, but that was just like a heroic jump. And then when he lands with that huge thud,
boom. Yeah. He's like, drive. It's like, okay, Chief, we're out of here. And that's the end of the episode.
I was kind of hoping they'd make a reference to, you know, traditionally the Marine AI, like when it drives a Warthog, kind of sucks. So, like, he doesn't know, like, which way he's going. Like, Lasky's trying to figure out how to drive the hog.
Well, hopefully a gas pedal and the steering wheel isn't that confusing to get started.
Well, it is to the AI in the Halo games.
I mean, that is true.
You know, when they showed that last shot there of Chief and the turret and the Warthog driving off, and then that was it, and that was the end of the episode, the first time I watched it, I was like, no! I literally said it out loud, no! I couldn't believe that that was the end of the episode. It just seemed like it went all by so quickly. And there it was, 60 minutes almost later. And, you know, and that was the whole episode. But, you know, I was like, oh my God, I'm waiting for more. I want more next week. Ugh.
Yeah, it was kind of a lull. The ending wasn't as impactful as some of the rest of the episodes have been.
I don't know, it makes me want more, though.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Like, the emotional impact isn't there, but, like, the impatientness of, you know, the impatience of gamers is there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was kind of like the Halo 2 ending. If you think about it, like,
there you go.
We're about to do this awesome thing, but you're going to have to wait for a while.
Yeah. Thankfully, it's not going to be 3 years, it's just a week.
Yeah.
Yep. So that wraps it up. We hit about 45 minutes. So
Not too bad.
A little bit longer than I thought, but definitely not as long as it has been for the last two shows. So trying to keep this short for you guys since we have... You guys are getting a lot more content very soon. We know it's a lot. We're trying to keep these short for you guys. But we hope you enjoy it. It is all pretty relevant information, all the stuff that we're talking about. So if there is something that you want to listen to, just kind of pick it out of however you subscribe to us, whether it's iTunes or Zune, or maybe if you just go to the website, just kind of pick and choose what information might be most important to you. If not, if you want to listen to everything, then be ready to sit down for about 6 hours. Because that's about how much content that we put out, and I've lost sleep over getting these many podcasts out. So
but it's well, like I mean, you've lost sleep, isn't it?
To an extent. My body is aching from workouts I've been doing the last few days from not getting good sleep. I can feel me kind of starting to get sick from lack of sleep, so I'm going to try to get a good night's sleep tonight, and hopefully that'll kind of help take care of some things. But enough of my rambling. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of Podtacular. We have one more Ford and the Dawn show to talk about, and then we'll probably do one for the extended version. As you guys probably know, the limited edition of Halo 4 comes with an extended cut of Ford and the Dawn. I don't know if it's kind of additional scenes that are scattered throughout, if it's an actual extended cut like that, or if there's like an extra episode actually tacked on somewhere. So we'll probably do two more of these. We'll definitely do one next week. It's going to be interesting to see when exactly we get one done, because I'll be in Dallas for MLG. But we're going to try to get one out to you anyways. It'll probably be Friday or Saturday at some point. So hope you guys kind of can stay tuned to that one. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. We also have a website, podtacular.com, where you can check out past episodes, and you can check out our forums as well. So you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Zune Marketplace or via RSS feed. And we are still working. I know I said this on Twitter, guys. We do have a survey coming out. With how many podcasts I've been pushing out, it's just been hectic. But tomorrow, from the day of this recording is actually going to be a down day for me since I have no recordings I have to do. So it'll be up on Saturday. And hopefully that'll give you guys a chance to kind of give us some feedback on what you like or dislike about the show. Maybe you have some format changes that you'd like to suggest, or maybe something, a new segment that you would want us to introduce for Halo 4 stuff coming out. And we'll run this survey for a good 3 weeks, so it'll be well into Halo 4, so you can kind of make a judgment of how we're doing things then. But we'll be doing content episodes talking about the campaign, talking about Spartan Ops, talking about multiplayer, talking about strategies. We'll have MLG people on, we'll have Forge people on, we'll have Machinima people on. It's just going to be crazy. And we're not going to do this thing where it's like six podcasts a week. We're going to limit it down to about two shows a week. Or if we manage to actually get the shows down to maybe 30-minute segments, then we may do three a week. But we want to give you guys kind of a concise look at information, so we're going to work on doing that for you guys. With that said, thank you, Halo Fan for Life, for coming on. As always, be sure you check out his website, and he does some very nice in-depth review of the Forward Unto Dawn series so far. And you want to plug that real quick?
Oh yeah, well, HaloFanForLife.com, as always. Just real quick too, I just happened to be featured today on Halo Waypoint about the graphic novels that I do for each episode too. So you know, take a gander either on Halo Waypoint or come to HaloFanForLife.com, and you can see the graphic novels I've done. I have the first three episodes already done, and I'm working on episode 4 as well. Hopefully I'll have that done by Sunday. But I don't know, I've got literally 343 screenshots to go through and put in. But
it can't be a coincidence.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. But again, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure. And next week,
the finale. It's going to be epic. Thank you guys very much again for listening, and we will see you on our next show, which is coming out very soon.
Yes. See you later. Keep on fragging weapon cages.